Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. These are well-known words. They're much loved words. But how well understood are they, really? How popular is the idea, and you get it on lots of Christmas cards with all sorts of inaccuracies and anachronisms thrown in for good measure, of baby Jesus in the manger? It's very romanticized, the scene that is painted and pictured. And many people's thoughts about the Lord Jesus never get past a baby lying on the straw in the manger. Because seemingly everybody loves this. Everybody, well, nearly everybody, I think, loves a good little cute baby. A warm, snuggly child. A sweet baby. Everybody loves that. But part of the reason we love a little baby is because the baby is helpless. And we are superior to the baby. We can do things for the baby. The baby cannot challenge us. We feel superior to a little baby. And that is why the image of Jesus as a baby is so often the only image that people will accept, or the one that they will be comfortable with. Because the reality is this. To that child in the manger, he towers above us. He's made us. He sustains our lives. He gives us every breath we take. We owe everything to him. And without him, life is hopeless. Completely. Well, we know these verses very well. We quote them in many carol services. And so it's time to take a little look at them this morning for a few minutes. I hope they move us to a deeper appreciation and understanding of who Jesus is. A child, yes, at this stage, but a child like no other. Isaiah is a major prophet. He wrote an awful lot under the inspiration of God. He's got 66 chapters in his book. He's got a larger vocabulary than even the book of the Psalms. Isaiah's book is a great piece, even of literature, even taking it that way. But he is a remarkable prophet of the near future and of the long future as well. He writes here up to 700 years before Christ with such detail and such accuracy. He foretells the birth and death of the Saviour in incredible detail. And this book contains many warnings to God's people and to those nations around about, but at the same time it has great promises to those who will follow the Lord. Isaiah lived in times of blessing and difficulty. He saw great blessing in the time of the reign of King Hezekiah. And he also saw what happened when God's people rejected him too. It's commonly believed, although not proven, that he was martyred by King Manasseh, who was a wicked king. Well, chapter 9 begins outlining some of the oppression and difficulty that God's people will face. There is gloom. There is difficulty. There is oppression. And the people are being spoken of here as those who walked in darkness. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death. And this is how it was for the nation of Israel at the time of the coming of Jesus Christ. The nation was under a great shadow. It was the land of the shadow of death. There was great darkness. God had been silent for 400 years. He'd not spoken for 400 years. The land is under enemy occupation. The people are in darkness. A great light is going to come and shine upon them. It seems so hopeless, but the light will come. God gets the glory to himself by doing marvelous things in the most difficult days. And deliverance is going to come through the birth of a child. Unto us a child is born. The grand language of Isaiah about oppression and darkness and light, it's a big picture. It's a grand canvas. It's a remarkable scene. But suddenly it becomes very personal. Unto us. It's not remote. It's applied. Of course, first of all, it applies to the Jewish people, who will largely reject him when he comes, the Saviour, who still do for the time being. But the grace of God is going to abound greatly unto us. Yes, it's unto the people of Israel, but unto the whole world. As the Lord, through the angel, says to Abraham, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Unto us a child is born. But who is he? What is his purpose? Unto us a son is given. A male child. Earlier on in Isaiah, in chapter 7, he has prophesied, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. A son. And this son is given. He's the gift of God to a rebellious and fallen race. You note the positive? Hundreds of years before it happens, Isaiah speaks into the future and speaks of this event so certainly, unto us a son is given. It's already done. It's already foreordained in the eternal counsels of God. This thing will come to pass. He is given. The Saviour has come. And he's freely and graciously given in a special way. And when we understand that the Saviour is a gift to us in this way, we understand Jesus' words to the woman at the well even better. Do you remember what he said to her? If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him. And he would have given you living water. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who speaks to you, well, who is it that speaks to her? It is him. He is the gift of God. And to know the gift of God is to know Jesus Christ. He is the gift of God. Why is he such a gift? Well, because he comes for us and to us. He comes for our sake to live a perfect life and to offer that life on Calvary's cross in place of ours. Now, Christmas is the comforting season. It's the comforting story. There's not as half as many will come out to church at Easter in general as will come out at Christmas. But Easter is the main event. It really is. We can know the Lord Jesus. He can bless us. He can forgive us our sin and change us and give us eternal life because of his death and his resurrection. And in order for that to happen, he must come. He must be a man. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And there are descriptions of him here. This is a child like no other. And the government will be upon his shoulder. It's the government of his people laid upon him. A burden of responsibility. Often in those days of old, a sign of your office was worn on the shoulder. The governor would wear a sign upon his shoulder, a badge. The government is upon his shoulder. He governs his people. What a responsibility is his. What a burden he shouldered. The cross he laid upon his shoulder. And his name will be called. And there are these descriptions. His people that he governs will acclaim him and call him by his name. These names speak to us of his nature and his qualities too. Wonderful Counselor. If you take it together or apart. If you listen to Handel's Messiah, it's ingrained on you. You know how it goes. Wonderful. Counselor. It makes it two words. Here there is a comma in the New King James between wonderful and counselor. But I believe it is actually wonderful counselor. That he is wonderful and he is a counselor, but it's intended to go together. He is a wonderful counselor. There is nobody like him. He is a child in a manger, yet within him is the whole counsel of God, the full wisdom of God, eternal wisdom. He's just a baby, but he's the wisest being on earth. Colossians 2 speaks about the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. He's a weak and helpless child. But this weak and helpless child is the Mighty God. This is the most basic fact to understand about the Lord Jesus, really. That he is God and man. Powerful and weak. Unlimited and yet restricted. Vast and tiny. Everything and yet almost nothing at all. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man, as the hymn writer says. What love and what grace and what condescension there is in this child. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. What does this mean? You say, well, he is the Son. How can he be described as the Father? He is the Son. Well, remember that Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Remember that. We've got one God who exists by choice and by design in three persons. The Hebrew indicates this expression means this everlasting Father, the Father of eternity. And so he is. He is the creator of all things. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first author, the Father of salvation. In Isaiah's time, he is unborn. And yet he still is. He lives for all eternity. Because Jesus did not begin in a stable at Bethlehem. The Son of God has always been and always will be. And yet he comes as a baby from the heights of glory to a cold, dirty stable or cave, whatever that rude building or structure was in which they sheltered the animals, to become a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Micah 5:5 says of him, this one shall be peace. Ephesians 2:14 reminds us of Jesus. He is our peace. Here he is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who comes and purchases peace. And he doesn't purchase peace at any price. He purchases peace at the highest price imaginable. It's his own life. His own heart. And he brings peace between God and man. He brings peace between Jews and Gentiles. And he leaves peace as a legacy. John 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Of the increase here in verse 7 of his government and peace, There will be no end. His kingdom will continue growing, and so will His peace in people's hearts. Not confined to a strip of land in the Middle East, but in the whole world, because it's not a physical kingdom that He brings. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Upon the throne of David, and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and even forever. David's throne, it's David's line, and here is a king who will, as God promised David all those years before, reign forever and ever. And with judgment and justice He establishes His perfect kingdom where there is righteousness. He is a child like no other. He is a king like no other, with a kingdom unique, unparalleled, unending, even forever. The kingdom begins and it never ends. No enemy will defeat it. No uprising will overthrow it. All its people are the devoted followers of the king, and He provides all of their needs. Isaiah's little portion here concludes, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Almighty God is going to do this amazing work beyond the power of men, driven by His zeal. What is God's chiefest commitment, do you know? What is God committed to above all things? His own glory. His own glory. He will do it all for His own glory, for the honour of His Son, and for His people. Such love as the world has never seen is foretold in Isaiah right here. We need to understand who the Lord Jesus really is. Not who He was. Child in the manger, wonderful picture, but you need to let that picture fade. It's not who He was, it's who He is. Because He is the Alpha and the Omega, who was and is to come. You need to understand the cross of Calvary, the resurrection of the Saviour, to see your need for forgiveness of sin and a new life, and trust in Christ alone. Easter is the main event, yes, but there is something so amazing here. So amazing. Something that makes us want to linger before the manger in wonder, in amazement. That the one who walked among the stars is going to have to learn to walk again. That the one who spoke the world into existence, He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He spoke it all into existence, and He will have to learn to speak again. What love, what grace, what mercy to you, to me. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. What a gift. What a gift is Christ. So the question is, have you accepted this free gift of God? This is no unwanted trinket. This is freedom from guilt, forgiveness of sin, peace with God, eternal life, life without end. He is the gift of God. Have you received Him? Have you believed on Him? Have you accepted Him? There's no child like this child. There's only one way of salvation. It's found in Jesus Christ alone. Is this great gift yours? Do you know Him? Well, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. May God bless each one of us. Amen.